You're listening to the Gal for All Seasons with the one and only Coupon, NDB Media Sports.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Gal for All Seasons podcast here on the NDB Media Sports Channel and Blog Talk Radio. I am the Coop, Tyron Cooper, broadcasting or podcasting from a very, very cold New York City. If you don't have Facebook or Twitter, consider yourself lucky that you're not hearing every single solitary person in this region complaining about it. What's going on tonight, folks? It is 7 o'clock Eastern Time on Wednesday evening. Hockey came back to the fold last weekend. It's funny, later on I'll be joined by Gal for All Seasons regular and friend of the show, for the Whoop, There It Is Jake segment. Blondie's Jake Stevens will be queuing in later on. But, you know, we actually had a little chat before about the NHL, and most notably New York Ranger fans. Most of my listeners and my readers know that I'm a big New York Ranger fan. And he, you know, was kind of making fun of me and my Ranger fan brethren about how everybody seems to be jumping off of a cliff. And for some reason, I know it's a short season. I know time is of the essence. I know one loss or two is more like two or four, because the wins and losses are just that much more important these days. But I have to say I'm not about to jump off the cliff. The game tonight is about to start in a few minutes, but I'm just going to let it go. They lose tonight, I'll have reason to be concerned, but it's still the beginning, still early. I'm not too concerned. Just a few things to point out about the Rangers was that they looked a little rusty, and they looked again. So, and the more things change, I guess the more things stay the same. One of the things that I like to say about the team is that they are like dancing, skating Smurfs on ice. They go for the finesse and not so much go in for the kill. It's more like, la, 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 look at me, I'm so pretty, look at me, la, la, la. And you're like, why are you, it doesn't matter if you score a goal looking pretty, just score the fucking goal. You know what I mean? And then, or shoot the puck, just do something. You don't have to make it pretty. You don't get extra points for being pretty. And it seemed like, you know, there were a lot of defensemen around the net, and they were, you know, not all that, you know, good for Henrik Lundqvist. He really wasn't able to see the puck a lot, and that really concerned me. You know, I can attribute it to Russ and all that, and, you know, just a longer than usual offseason, the fact that the team didn't get to play as much together as a team. But I can take comfort in that towards the end of the game on Sunday, which was a gigantic shit show, with Henrik Lundqvist being pulled and Marty Biron being put in. It's, you know, it is what it is. I can't change it. They lost. It's all good. I'm okay with it, though. But, yeah, so ask me next week how I feel about the Rangers. Who knows? Maybe I'll be jumping off of the Empire State Building like the rest of the bleeding blue shirts who were, you know, waiting all season for something. Okay, so without further ado, I've got a really special guest tonight. I'm really excited to have him on the show. A lot of things happened between my last show, which was 2 weeks ago. I took last week off because I just had a lot of stuff going on. And unfortunately, you know, I really wasn't able to address fully the fallout from the Hall of Fame voting. And, you know, a lot of people in the Mets community especially, because it hit us directly. We were, you know, Mike Piazza was up for nomination this year. It was his first year on the ballot. And Mike Piazza, obviously, he holds a very special spot in Mets fans' hearts. And by all things considered, you look at the numbers, just straight numbers, I'm not talking about any kind of outliers, he is a Hall of Famer. And unfortunately, nobody made the cut this year. And a lot of the backstory were whispers about, did this person juice, that person use steroids, and blah, blah, blah. And the reality is, I'm of the frame of mind that when you're a journalist, you don't make the story about yourself. And I had some, you know, very vocal comments about the techniques or the non-techniques that the voters used this year. I really didn't appreciate it. I didn't think that the story was really about the players so much. It was too little too late. There was a time and place to unveil the juicing controversy, and now wasn't the time. But there is a question of how we're going to evaluate Hall of Fame voting going forward. And, you know, I say we, as if I have a vote. I have a very special vote. I mean, just how the writers are going to be able to, take it. I don't really know if there is a right or wrong answer, but all I know is that the process that happened this year shouldn't ever happen again. And I have a guest who's coming on. I think he fell out of the queue, though. I'm going to try to get him one more time into the queue, give him a few more minutes. But tonight my special guest is somebody that I actually guest blogged, and he's somebody that I've had a great amount of respect for. He's written several books. He's a columnist for Sports Illustrated. He wrote one of the quintessential Mets books, as far as I'm concerned, for the Bad Guys one, which was the chronicle of the 1986 season and events leading to the 1986 World Championship. And if you are a Mets fan, this is a must-read. It should be in your Mets queue somehow. Jeff Perlman will be joining me tonight at some point. I'm just not sure when he will be in the queue again. I think he fell out. But in any case, I'll just keep going. I have several, questions that I want to ask the writers. And, most of them are rhetorical because Jeff Perlman does not have a vote for the Hall of Fame. He doesn't have a vote with the BBWAA. And that said, I'm not really sure, what the resolution could be going forward. I don't think that it's something that should be ignored, nor do I think, something that, I don't know. Why don't I just bring him in instead of rambling on like an idiot? Allow me to introduce a Twitter personality, a very vibrant Twitter personality, columnist for Sports Illustrated and author of such great sports books, Boys Will Be Boys, Love Me, Hate Me, my personal favorite chronicle, the 1986 World Championship, New York Mets, the Bad Guys won. Please help me welcome Jeff Perlman. Hey, Jeff, you with me? Hello? Jeff, you with me? Hello? Okay, I think I might have lost him again. Hold on. Okay, I think he fell out of the queue again. And I gave him that big intro. He should be so happy. Okay, the reason that this came about was I was actually chatting on one of my friends, my friend Joe Spector. He's head nut over at Spector Sector, and he also writes for Mesmerized Online, which I do as well. And he was writing about the voting process, and I kind of made a comment that we had Jeff Perlman on my other show, The Cult of Mets Personalities, and we had some, I kind of used him as an example. So consider this the bury the hatchet. Let me get him on again. Hey, Jeff, you with me? Hello? Hey, Jeff, you there? Okay, I think we might have lost him again. This has been a night of some technical difficulties. I'm not really sure what is going on. Sorry to keep you guys in the loop here. I'm just as disappointed that I can't get him on the show either. Going back to Joe's article, I don't know why that happened. Hold on one second. So apparently he is being greeted by silence. He is trying to get into the show right now, and I feel bad that I can't patch him in. Just give me a second. Hey, Jeff, are you there?
Yeah, I am here.
Hi.
I'm
rambling on like an idiot now. How are you?
Good.
Okay, I'm so sorry that you couldn't get in, but let's get to the chase here. I gave you such a glowing intro that I really wish that you were able to hear. But in any case, I wanted to thank you. You and I had a little bury the hatchet incident this week, and it's all good. It's all in good fun. Earlier this week, I was just telling the audience that you allowed me to write a guest post on your site, jeffbowman.com, about why I thought Mike Piazza belongs in the Hall of Fame. You know, we had talked about that on my other show, The Cult of Mess Personalities, which is also here on Blog Talk Radio. Now, I know you don't get a vote in the Hall of Fame process, and this is a gray area, and I think that the discussion is still very relevant. And, I'm not going to so much harp on Mike Piazza, but I'd like your opinion on a few things because you do come from the writer background. Regarding the so-called steroid era, and my thought process is that I just feel like there's no right answer, and I really just wanted to get your opinion on it, is that there are going to be guys who juice, and they could have been potential Hall of Famers. There's a line where you have a guy like Craig Biggio who, in my opinion, is a Hall of Famer, period. But he might have done steroids. He might have dabbled in it. Then there's someone like Ken Caminiti who, in my opinion, is not a Hall of Famer, but he had an MVP year. He clearly juiced. But he may or may have not had a career at all with the juice. So, to me, the thinking is that right now the Baseball Writers Association of America, they don't want to let any of them in. Just fuck them. We don't want to let any of them in. And my philosophy is that it happened, and I'm not one to be part of the morality party. So maybe you can shed some light on the thought process about this line of thinking. Like, do we let any of them in, or we just say, okay, this never happened, this is a gray area, and we're just never going to talk about it again? What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I think it's really, the problem is, like, there's no universal line of thought. So, I mean, that's, in a way, that's, like, the biggest problem of all, is you have, 100 different people thinking 100 different things and using 100 different standards. And I actually think it would be good for baseball or the Hall or someone to sort of say, this is how we want you to vote on this issue, and at least give people a sort of, a guideline. If baseball decides, look, we don't like the idea of you being suspicious or even listening to your suspicions, and we just want you to vote on people's numbers, I think there's value to that statement being made. And if they say, we're going to put an asterisk by anyone's, on anyone's plaque who played during this era, I mean, sure, okay. I just think the problem is there's so much ambiguity. You have people, you have Tom Verducci who doesn't want to vote for, whoever, Clemens and Bonds. You have Buster Olney who's going to vote for both Clemens and Bonds. So I don't really think there's an answer. I mean, for me personally, having covered the era, I can tell you it's not, I don't think of it when people say, and you're not the first to say it, when people say, morality police, I don't really view it as morality police. I mean, I've looked at porn and I've run through a red light. Like, I've certainly done things that are, aren't always, whatever, moral. I think what it is, I covered Bonds' home run chases, both Aaron and when he broke McGuire's record. And it really bothers me that it was done sort of. I mean, it bothers me that he broke Hank Aaron's all-time record, to be honest with you. And he did so, you know, clearly sort of cheated. So it just bothers me. And I hate the idea that we tell our kids, don't cheat, don't cheat, don't cheat. And there are no, you know, cheating is wrong and you're going to get punished if you cheat and blah, blah, blah. And then we take these people who a lot of kids really look up to, and not only do we ignore that they cheated, but we give them the greatest honor in baseball. I don't know the answer to it. That's just kind of how I feel.
Okay. Well, you know, I think that gives me a little more clarity as to what you think. Because, I mean, I'll admit it, I hated Barry Bonds. I thought he was just the biggest asshole in sports. To me, I mean, Hank Aaron made his record with class, and he made it with style. And then you have someone with Barry Bonds who did it just so brazen and openly. Everyone knew he was juicing, but at the time, I mean, what were they supposed to do? You know what I mean? There wasn't a policy in place. He wasn't suspended, quote unquote. I mean, he just went out and did it. And I mean, in my opinion, I think he was probably, you know, just rubbing it in our faces, like, yeah, fuck you all. Like, I'm doing steroids, and that's it. Not, I'm going to break the record, and I'm going to break both records. I'm going to have the single season and the all-time home run record. Screw you all. I see what you mean, that, you know, the players are going to be honored anywhere. And I agree. I mean, there is a real gray area. There's just, you know, what are they supposed to do? But, you know, you have a guy like Alex Rodriguez who admitted it, knew he said, oh, I only did it for about a year. I forget how long he said he did it for. But what do you say about someone like him who came out, admitted he did it, and, you know, he clearly has the numbers to get in? Does that count as, like, an asterisk, like, you know, you suggested?
For me, it does. I mean, for me, I'll tell you, honestly, I'll tell you the story that really sort of swayed me, what really has sort of affected me in a major way. And again, I don't know the answer to the voting. I just don't. I don't have an answer. People always, I think on that show we were on together last time, someone asked, you know, well, what's the answer? And I said, I have no idea. I really don't. But you know, I've developed over the years a friendship with a guy named Sal Fasano, who was a journeyman catcher sort of during the 90s and 2000s, and a great guy. He's one of the nicest guys in I've ever met in my life. And his wife is wonderful, and his kids are wonderful. He's just this great guy, and I know him well enough that, you know, we've had long talks about performance enhancers, and he swore to me he's never used, you know, and you know, I just believe him because I know him well, and, you know, again, you can be suspicious of everyone, but he's someone I've developed a close relationship with, and, you know, Sal's youngest son was born with a severe heart condition, and his family needed, you know, special medical attention, really expensive surgeries, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, Sal, during this time period, was languishing in the minor leagues, and he wasn't getting the health coverage that you get if you're a major league ball player. Meanwhile, there were, I think, six or seven journeyman catchers of Sal Fasano kind of ability, you know, the Todd Pratts of the world, who were later, you know, brought up in the Mitchell Report, who were playing major league baseball. And I just think, like, here's Sal Fasano trying to do it clean, trying to do it right, who needs the, you know, the health coverage from major league baseball. And you have guys who are cheating, who are taking these drugs, who are stealing jobs that he should, you know, you can make the argument rightfully have. And when I think about that and I sort of consider that, I think that's when it really changed for me, my viewpoint on steroids. And that it wasn't just everyone was doing it, because not everyone was doing it. And it wasn't okay, because you weren't just, you know, whatever, getting money from the owners. You were taking jobs from people, and you were a lot of people who dreamed of playing in the majors who didn't cheat. We're probably stuck in AAA and AA and A-ball because guys who sort of milked the system and cheated and used drugs chose to do so. So that's kind of how I feel about it.
Okay, well, that's fair enough. I mean, I can see that you have, you know, a lot of passion behind it, and like you said, you have that that friend, and it was personal. It does get a little personal, but I wanted to change the line of thinking out of usage of steroids and performance enhancers in baseball, because a few days ago or last week, you know, probably the biggest trend that we saw, you and I are, you know, kind of Twitter bugs, that Lance Armstrong admitted on Oprah, you know, to Oprah, that he doped, you know, the biggest the biggest doping ring in the history of history. And you wrote about you know, the admission of doping, and to you it was too little too late. But you made it again a little personal from the writing standpoint. I think that was really interesting to me to see, you know, you going from the perspective of the people who worked with these athletes, like Lance Armstrong, on their autobiographies. And, you know, you also mentioned Mike Piazza, which, you know, you and I have had discussions about, and his book that's coming out. And I mean, you know, again, you were talking about, you know, holding these athletes to a higher standard, how we tell our children, you know, you don't cheat to get ahead. But, I mean, my issue, I think, with the whole thing, and not just with the Hall of Fame voting, you know, we knew for years that Lance Armstrong was under this cloud of suspicion, and yet you see people like Deadspin unveiling the Manti Te'o's story of the faux girlfriend. And to me, I guess, underneath it all, and you're a journalist with, you know, I know that you write with passion and you're very knowledgeable about what you write, but I feel like a lot of what's going on just succumbs to lazy journalism. What do you think about that?
I mean, I don't know. I actually, the whole Notre Dame story to me is pretty fascinating and pretty riveting. And actually, you know, it's interesting, when I first heard about it, I was convinced that this guy had to be in on it. I mean, who dates a girl for a year and never has a Skype conversation with her? You know, it just seemed completely implausible and ridiculous. And now I just think the guy might be really, really naive, you know? And I also think, like, I've sort of gotten to the point a little bit, Abby, where it's kind of like, who cares? How does this impact anyone? You know, he made a mistake or whatever, you know, but you know, I'm amazed how often we care about 21-year-old kids. And it's because, like, a 21-year-old kid in college, when I was 21, I was, you know, drinking whatever and trying to hook up at the University of Delaware. I had no common sense whatsoever. So I also think, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. I as far as, you know, like Lance Armstrong, I'm disgusted by the guy. I'm really disgusted, more than I've ever been disgusted by another athlete, including Barry Bonds, including John Rocker. Because I think he really set out to ruin people. You know, it wasn't just that he used, and I guess one can make the argument that in cycling, I don't agree with it, but you can make the argument in cycling that the only way you could compete in the Tour de France was to use performance enhancers. And I think it's nonsense, but I think, you know, you can make the argument. But the way he completely ruined people and went after anyone who questioned him and sued people left and right and destroyed reputations. And I've never seen anything like that, the pure meanness of it all. I find it so – I thought Barry Bonds would be the meanest, sort of biggest jerk athlete I've ever come across. And I actually think Lance Armstrong blows him away, because as bad as Barry Bonds was, I don't think he generally set out to destroy people in the way Lance Armstrong did.
Right. I agree with you, because I don't think prior to – Armstrong coming out and admitting that he doped during his, you know, his Tour de France. I mean, if you look at the feat on paper, you take out the doping equation, you're like, holy crap. I mean, that's just an amazing feat. I know it's not easy. I have a lot of friends who are mountain bikers or cyclists, and they all, I mean, Lance Armstrong was the guy that they wanted to emulate it. But I agree. I mean, I thought Barry Bonds was a big jerk, and I mean, I'm a baseball fan, so I'm going to be like, well, I don't like that guy. You always pick that athlete that you love to hate. But Lance Armstrong was just the most brazen, you know, he just took everybody down with him. Like, you know, fuck you all. I'm burning this house down. It really surprised me, but I don't know. I guess, you know, the bigger question to me is, I don't know, with all the suspicion that was around, and I could, you know, have a metaphor, some kind of parallel with what was going on in baseball all those years, because you remember the Bash brothers, the Oakland A's, and there was always the stories that, ooh, Jose Canseco and Mark McGwire using steroids. I mean, I was like, 12 or 13 years old at the time. And to me, it was like, they shouldn't do steroids. They're good guys. Like, that was just, you know, as a teenager, that was what I thought. But, you know, as time went on and the game changed, there was always the talk, well, you know, those people are doping. Those people are using HGH. Like, I don't know. I guess the whole sort of cyclical nature of it all is that I just don't know why this is surprising to anybody. But then, you know, the stories come out and they just get better and better. I don't really know what to make of it.
I don't know. I mean, I just think, like, I think it's sad that we've kind of come to a point where you can't really believe that much, you know, that you have to approach accomplishments with a skeptical eye. You know, I think that's sort of where we've been brought to in sports, where, you know, I know a million people who think Albert Pujols is probably dirty. I'm not saying he is. I'm saying people look at his accomplishments and think, no way, you know. I don't think there's a cyclist alive who anyone believes in anymore. I don't think there's a power hitter alive from the you know, the PED era, so to speak, who people believe, you know, universally believe. I mean, I just think it's sad. It's the big sort of aftertaste of that era and what we're going through now is that you can't believe anyone. And I'll tell you the thing, Lance Armstrong. So I wrote a couple of columns for CNN last year about Lance Armstrong, and I said this guy is completely unbelievable. And I got tons and tons and tons of hate mail. And there's no proof. I kept saying, you're asking me to believe that a guy who was nearly died of cancer recovered from that to win 7 Tour de France's. And not only that, you're asking me to believe they won 7 Tour de France's clean while beating dozens, hundreds of riders who were cheating. You know, it's a really hard thing to buy. And it's unfortunate that we live in this era now where athletes are basically being challenged to believe people, you know, and it's a lot easier to just assume people are sort of dirty or taking shortcuts than it is to believe that it's just hard work and drive. And that's kind of a bummer.
It is. And, you know, it is really heartbreaking. I mean, like you said, when I was growing up, I mean, I was always a big sports fan. I grew up, you know, the 1986 team, when I found out later that they were all drug addicts and white cheaters and all kinds of stuff. I was like, this isn't my team. But I guess, you know, as an adult, I could handle that. I couldn't handle that as a child. So,
well, you know, I always tell people, you know, you get a lot of emails like, I really want to be a sports writer. And I often say, do you love sports? And they say yes, and I say, well, you may want to rethink this this career path, because the truth of the matter is, you know, when you do it, you see the little man behind the curtain, you know, and it's not, you know, oh my God, you get to hang out in the clubhouse, you know, well, you hang out in the clubhouse and, you know, you see the guys farting in your face and you see the guys cheating on their wives, you know, and you know, I mean, just, you know, they're human beings and they do things that will disappoint you and sort of let you down. And I don't know. It's a bummer.
Well, I remember that was how you opened the Bad Guys one. And I can't tell you how much, you know, that book, like, brought back so much of my childhood. And I just remember how you were just so honest. And that was probably why I didn't become a sports writer or go into journalism, even though I have a journalism background. That's why I didn't go the main route, and probably why I'm doing, you know, podcasts for audiences of 100 on Wednesday nights here on Blog Talk Radio. But, okay, so, you know, what do you have going on? What would you like to plug and, you know, make any kind of big announcements here?
No, I don't have any I have no announcements. I'm working on a book, but it's not even close to being done. I don't know. I got nothing. I'll tell you, I'll tell you the one thing that this isn't a plug at all, but I was thinking this before, so I'll say it. The one thing, when I saw Lance Armstrong, this is related to nothing, but when I saw Lance Armstrong on Oprah, I was actually thinking, this is the product of when we get way too competitive. And, you know, I'm a Little League dad, my son plays Little League, and I see these parents screaming at their kids, getting mad at their kids if they don't play well. And this is the byproduct. Here you go. Here's a guy, win at all costs, no matter what. It's all about winning. It's only about winning. All I want to do is win. And at the end of the day, you're sitting on the couch looking across from Oprah, looking as pathetic as you can possibly look. I think we've lost a little bit of just enjoying the games, you know, playing for fun. You know, win or lose, you go out afterwards for a beer or a soda or an ice cream. And what difference does it make? You know, and I wish we had that a little more. I mean, in youth sports, you see it where kids now are playing one sport year-round. You know, when I was a kid, you play three, if not four. And, you know, you run around outdoors and you just have fun. And I really feel like as a sports writer, as a dad, as a guy who loves sports, I really feel like we've lost that. And that's what I thought of when I saw Lance Armstrong. Is here's a guy who's the product of an over-competitive bullshit background where it's all about winning. And if you're all about winning, you end up being a freaking loser on Oprah's couch.
Well, on that note, Jeff, where can we find you?
You know, jeffperlman.com or, you know, Twitter /Jeff Perlman.
All righty. Well, you know, thanks for coming on the show and thanks for bearing the hatchet. And thank you for allowing me to use your site as a platform as to why I believe might be. I think he'll get in. I think he'll get in. I just, like you said, it's a bad time. It's a gray area.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. If he gets, I mean, I'm over the Piazza. I've said my piece. He was always a nice guy to me. I have zero personal beef with Mike Piazza. He was always in fact, I'll tell you a really quick story is right after I did the John Rocker story the following season, I'd never even interviewed Mike Piazza. I was like 27. Working at Sports Illustrated, I'm in the Mets clubhouse, and the equipment guy goes, "Hey, are you Jeff Perlman?" And I said, "Yeah." He says, "Yeah, Mike wants to talk to you." I said, "Mike wants to talk to me?" He said, "Yeah, Mike, he wants to talk to you." And I look over, and there's Piazza getting chains, and he motions me over, and he says, "You're Jeff Perlman?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You wrote the John Rocker story?" I said, "Yeah," and I thought he was going to be pissed at me. He goes, "What was that guy thinking? What a moron! What the hell was that guy thinking?" So I've always had a soft spot for Piazza. I mean, I like Piazza. I always like Piazza. I just, you know, just a skeptic. But there you go.
All right. No, it's all good. Disagreement is the flavor of life. So, again, thank you for coming on, and I will, I'm sure I'll be conversing with you on Twitter soon.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye. And that was Jeff Perlman, writer for Sports Illustrated. Thanks for coming on the show. This is Coop. You are listening to the Gal for All Seasons podcast.
Upside down and inside out. I'm about to show all you folks what it's all about. Now it's time for us to get on the mic and make this motherfucking party hot. I'm taking it back to the old school. Cause I'm an old fool. Who's so cool? If you want to get down, I'm going to show you the way. There it is. Let me hear you say.
Coop, there it is.
What's going on?
I was just thoroughly enjoying your speaking with Mr. Jeff Perlman. Had an opportunity a few years back to actually have him on my radio old radio program in Bakersfield. An interesting cat. Didn't always agree with, and still don't always agree with everything he has to say, but certainly has a point of view and speaks up, and I appreciate it. And the sports world, I think, is better for some of the work that he does.
Well, you know what, I agree. And, like I said, my introduction to Jeff Perlman was the bad guys one, because as any Mets fan can appreciate, the 1986 baseball team, and they were just badass. And he was able to bring that out. And, that's something that I'll always really appreciate about him.
Sure.
But, hell, you know what, this is the Walt There It Is Jake segment. And we've got a lot to talk about. The football season is almost over. We had the conference championship last week.
Right.
How happy are you that this is the Harbaugh, as it's being called, 49ers, as opposed to, say, Brady versus Manning, blah? Like, what are your thoughts?
Anytime the focus is on the two coaches, you know it's not really a Super Bowl with a big draw. And frankly, I am going to be watching the commercials, which I usually don't as much as I'd like. I'll be focusing on the commercials. I'll be focusing on my Super Bowl squares. Honestly, I don't want to root for either of the teams. And I know that, you know, I'm not saying they're not good teams, and I'm not saying they don't have good players, and I'm not saying there's not good storylines, I suppose. But I've already had enough of Colin Kaepernick. I do not have any taste whatsoever for Ray Lewis. So as far as I'm concerned, season ended on Sunday. Let's go Pro Bowl. Oh, I mean, really, you know, I suspect that the 49ers with their offensive weapons and enough on defense will win the game. I hope it's close so that it'll be interesting just for the aspect of a close game. But I don't care. I know that's maybe not right to say as a sports fan, but I really don't care. I have nobody really to root for. Usually there's somebody I'm rooting for, so then I can root against the other team. But if Brady was there, I could root against, you know, and Belichick, I could root against them. Or if, say, the Falcons had won, I could root for them. And, you know, a neat little story. Nobody thought they would get there. As it turns out, they didn't. So, football is dead to me. But that 49ers-Falcons game was tremendous on Sunday, and the Ravens-Patriots game was actually pretty entertaining, even though the Patriots pretty much choked away in the second half. But then again, so did the Falcons. So I guess they kind of mirrored, but at least it came down to the right to the very end for the most part in the Falcons game, and certainly was pretty close for most of the game with the other one. But, you know, yeah, just not a whole lot of draw for me. Just not a whole lot of draw.
You
Can
know,
we move
I'm
on?
Kind of, it's funny, though, because for me, I have, outside of New York City, I have three favorite cities, one of which is San Francisco.
Love it.
The other is Seattle, and then there's Baltimore. So two of my three favorite cities outside of New York are being represented. So I'm kind of like, yeah, go my favorite city. I don't know. Like you said, if it's more about the coaches and the city than not about the players, then it's not much of a Super Bowl. But whatever. Being a Jets fan, I really haven't had much of a reason to watch the Super Bowl in, like, my life. So, except for the commercials and maybe the, bad carbs and fried food that we eat.
I never eat any of that. Never.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what do we want to touch on now? You started off on the There It Is, Jake Tears and Booth column this week about Mount Titeo's faux girlfriend and how you equated it to Anthony Michael Hall's character in The Breakfast Club, which, well done, sir, well done. But she's in Canada. You wouldn't know who she is. And, Perlman actually was just on the show talking about how in this day and age, how you don't demand a Skype or a FaceTime session with somebody is beyond him. So, you know, maybe just take a few thoughts going down that route.
Yeah, he's either the world's most, you know, one of the most naive people I've ever heard of, which makes me wonder, how did he get into Notre Dame? I mean, really, you've got to be intelligent to get into Notre Dame. I would guess that he's book smart, but clearly just clueless when it comes to, you know, and naivete, I guess, if he's not involved. I go back and forth on it. It just seems so hard to believe that he wasn't involved. And then add to the fact that he's admitted that after he found out it was a hoax, he still perpetuated the lie in live interviews, including during the Heisman Trophy ceremony and in preparation and run-up to the national championship game. So, I don't know. It's just so weird. But if people haven't seen it, they have to go to Funny or Die and see his eHarmony ad, which is just priceless. Anthony Michael Hall, back in the young days when he was fun and didn't seem like this big, colossal jerk that he was made out to be in so many movies. She's from Canada. Met her in Niagara Falls. You wouldn't know her. I mean, it was just perfect. It was just perfect. And frankly, if he really didn't have anything to do with it, then I guess I sort of feel sorry for him. But again, you're just unbelievably naive if that's the case. Either way, just one of the most bizarre things I've ever, you know, Lance Armstrong doping. Yeah, well, like, big surprise. The fact that he finally admitted it, maybe a little bit of a surprise, but big surprise about that whole thing. But the fact that, you know, here's this guy who, oh, man, talk about being just absolutely twisted around and turned upside down and basically lampooned, essentially, is what he became for being so naive, if that is the case. It's just shocking to me. It's just shocking to me. He should play for the Jets. I mean, you know, there's another great storyline for the Jets.
Well, you know what? That's funny because the second that the story hit, every single punchline was about how this guy is a future Jet. And you know what? It totally wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me if Kale was part of gangrene. Yeah.
it would be classic. He and, if you saw the articles today, if you saw the write-up today, he and, did you hear Jamarcus Russell, the former just awful, awful, awful quarterback for the Oakland Raiders, he's trying to make a comeback. So my feeling is that he also would be perfect because, you know, supposedly the Jets have all this money. Well, not supposedly, but they have all this money tied up in Sanchez. So if they're not going to be able to you know, bring in somebody new for big bucks, maybe they'll bring in Jamarcus Russell. There is nothing that I would think would be beneath the New York Jets organization at this juncture. Perhaps they were actually in on the Manti Te'o hoax in the hopes of his stock dropping, and then they could draft him, you know, in a later position. I don't know. Nothing would shock me with the Jets. Nothing.
Yeah, I have nothing to follow up because you just said it all. All right, we have a few more minutes, and you know I'm a big NHL fan. I came back over the weekend. The Rangers, to much fanfare, went 0-2, and people are about to jump off a cliff. But I don't know. Do you have any observations from the West Coast? You were close to the Stanley Cup champion celebration.
Yeah, and as a matter of fact, my buddy who works in PR with the Kings, he came over, he's traveling on the road trip, so and he's lived in California all his life, and he's on the Kings' current road trip as they took off either Monday or yesterday. They took off Monday to go to Colorado and then Edmonton tomorrow, and then they're going to be, I think, in Phoenix is the last one. So he came over to borrow a coat. Because, you know, a New Yorker, we all have those, you know, nice London fog trench coats, something like that. He didn't have a coat. He didn't have a winter coat because he's grown up and lived in California his entire life. And he was now going on a road trip, so he needed a coat that he could wear over his suit. So when he came over, he showed me his ring. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just tremendous. He's got this monster Stanley Cup ring. It is impressive. I got to tell you, it's really cool, but that team, you know, I think it was easy to forget that the Kings actually barely scored last year in the regular season. That team was just a mess offensively, and they got into the playoffs through Jonathan Quick playing out of his mind, and then in the playoffs, suddenly things clicked offensively, but they're not a great offensive team. The same thing's sort of happening this year, except Jonathan Quick is coming off of back surgery, and Andrzej Kopitar hadn't been playing the first couple of games and just got activated. And it may be a long season for the defending champs with a very, very competitive Western Conference and this being the short sprint season. As far as your Rangers, big game tonight at the Garden as they are battling the Bees. As we speak, I get it out here on the NHL Network, as we speak it is scoreless, although the Rangers are buzzing. That was definitely a odd start for the Rangers. But, you know, playing the Penguins and the Bruins in the first two, you know, there's going to be a couple of tough games. Henrik didn't have a great game, too. They'll be fine. You know, there's so much depth. Rick Nash has looked good. That team will be fine. But I'm sure there's plenty of New York Rangers fans who are already just freaking out about how the season is already lost, et cetera, et cetera. So that would just, yeah, just crack me up. But, you know, it's going to be, again, like we said last time, it's going to be a very interesting season with it being a quick sprint with the 48-game schedule. It's huge to get out early. The Red Wings are almost already left for dead. They're so unbelievably atrocious. What a change that is. That's going to be the biggest deal, is that the Rangers are done. I mean, not the Rangers, the The Detroit Red Wings will not make the playoffs this year unless something bizarre happens. That team is done. With Nicholas Lidstrom retiring, with Holmstrom retiring, they're done. The Devils got off to a decent start. The Flyers haven't played well yet. So, you know, a couple of the heavyweights, a little bit of a slow start, but I wouldn't be worried at all. It's going to come down to who plays well in the tournament, just like it does every year.
And there it is, Jake. Where can we find you?
We can find me whooping around at thereitisjake.com, home of my Monday cheers and booze. You know, another week will come and go. There's no football games this week, so we'll probably have to talk more hockey. And maybe we'll touch upon the L.A. Lakers completely imploding. So thereitisjake.com, and, of course, right here every week with you, Coop!
Woo! It's always a party when Jake arrives.
I'm all always right. Glad to be a part of it.
All right, likewise. I will talk to you next week, I'm sure.
Okay. Thanks,
all
Coop.
Right. Later. That was Bobby Shake Stevens and the Whoop There It Is Jake segment. And we're out of time. I'm the Coop, Karen Cooper. Thank you for listening. I would like to thank my very special guest, Jeff Perlman, for being on the show. He was an awesome guest. And thank you for letting me write on your site, jeffperlman.com, this week. You can see it was released on Monday, why Mike Piazza is a Hall of Famer. You can find me at Coops22, COOPZ22 on Twitter. You can also find my writing and ramblings and rantings and ravings at galforallseasons.com. You're listening to the Gal for All Seasons podcast here on NBB Media Sports, Blog Talk Radio, and we will be back next week. Bye.